Study this kind of stuff. Study the impact of single words. And in a soundbite, 30-second commercial world, sometimes 15 seconds, sometimes less than that if you're trying to zip through a recorded program. They scientifically study this stuff to try to figure out, okay, how do we grab somebody's attention and cause them to stop for a minute, look at our product, consider it, and perhaps buy it. Well, and there's some words that kind of, like the word discover is an important word. In fact, some of us have a credit card called Discover. Now, discover what? It doesn't matter. It's just that's an exciting word to us. We discover, you know, and discovery and things like that. And the word that's in the message today, and that is a kind of a theme that runs through this particular experience, is the word riches. That rich kind of catches our attention. We all want to be rich, and there's nothing wrong with being rich. There are some pitfalls that come with it, this historical experience that Jesus had with somebody who was in that situation. I have known people who are rich. We grew up in a little community called Eunice, New Mexico, and there was a very wealthy man that attended our church. You wouldn't know it by looking at him because he wore hand-me-down clothes and was a very unassuming Uncle Mark Owen, but they had discovered natural gas on his land, and he was a very wealthy man, and he gave millions away to the kingdom of God and did a lot of wonderful things with his riches. I've known other rich people. Most of them were rather unassuming. You would not have known, unless you knew who they were and in their background, you would not have known they had any money at all, because they didn't carry on like the caricature that we have in our fictional literature about how rich people behave. Now, I have met some wealthy people that were like the caricature. Many of them weren't as wealthy as they pretended to be. They were putting on a show. They were aping something that they were not. But in this experience today, we're going to see a person who was truly wealthy, a rich person. And he would probably be in the category today that we would call wealthy. There's rich, and then there's wealthy. All of us in this room, on the world average, are rich. All of us are. I know if you're an American, you're rich, because you've got things available to you just as a natural course of stuff that most of the world would envy. The average world income worldwide is about $8,000 or $9,000 a year, and most of the world is a whole lot less than that. It's just a couple of bucks a day, if that much. So all things being equal, most Americans would be considered by most people in the world wealthy. We have access, all of us do, to medical help. We have access to clean drinking water. We have access to food, shelter, and all of that without even thinking about it. It's just there. It's just a part of our life. It's our right, almost. And so when you're looking at this guy, don't rule yourself out, okay? Just don't, because we wear his shoes. All right, we're going to look at our passage. A question, listen to Jesus' question. And this is the key. Most of the time when people interpret this passage, they get into an argument about whether or not Jesus wants us to give all our money away. That's really where we end up, because that's what we're concerned about. Does Jesus want me to give all my money away? Is that what he wants me to do? Well, if you don't catch the first two questions, and the reason we miss this is because we're not Jews, most of us. Some of us, there may be somebody who's Jewish here. But if we're not Jews, we don't understand how Jews talk. In the first century, Jews always answered questions with questions. They still have this habit to this day. You ask somebody, a Jewish person, a question, they're will always sometimes answer you with a question. And Jesus did this all the time. And if you don't understand that question, then you miss the whole point of this encounter. By the way, if you don't catch that question, you miss the whole point of your life yourself. You don't get it. All right? This is the single most important question that can be asked you. All right? A certain ruler questioned him, that is Jesus. Now, in the Mark account of this experience, it said a ruler ran to him, a rich young ruler ran to him and fell before him, humbled himself before him. So, you know, this was a person who was anxious to demonstrate to Jesus that he honored him as a teacher and a rabbi. And he said, "Good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone." Now that's the whole point of this encounter. You see, as I've studied over this my whole thinking life, particularly my adult life, particularly my ministry life, the one thing you have to determine, and there's only one thing you have to determine, is who is Jesus. Now, once you get that fixed, once you get that straight, everything else falls into place. But until you get that straight, nothing falls into place. It all starts right there with that question, "Why do you call me good?" He used two words about Jesus, good teacher, good rabbi. Now, Jesus zeroed in on the good part, didn't he? He said, "Why do you call me good? Are you saying I'm God?" Now, I want you to listen to the answer. You hear the crickets? Do you get the point? Do you get the point? Why do you call me good? There's only one good, and that's God. Are you calling me, Jesus said, God? What was the guy's answer? "No, I'm not calling you God. I'm calling you a good teacher." Okay, in that case, then Jesus shifts gears. Well, and in this, it's what Paul's going to hammer in the book of Romans. The law cannot save you. If Jesus isn't God, of course, the ruler wanted to know, what can I do to inherit the kingdom of God? Either Jesus is God, or you got to go some other route. So Jesus said, "Okay, dude, you know the commandments. Do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honor your father and your mother." And the young man said, "Well, all these I've kept from my youth." And Jesus heard him, he said to him, "Yeah, you've kept all those in your own mind." He could probably poke around in there and find out that he hadn't, but, you know, but I'll just give you the benefit of the doubt of that. And then he said to him, "One thing you lack, sell all you possess and distribute it to the poor, and you'll have treasure in heaven, and come follow me." But when he had heard these things, he became very sad, for he was extremely rich. He was wealthy. Now, right here is where everybody goes off into left field. If we really follow Jesus, if we really believe that Jesus is God and we follow Jesus, does he want us to give up everything we've got? You have to answer that for yourself and in your own walk with the Lord. Okay? Well, that led to an interesting thing that happened. Jesus looked at him and said, "How hard it is for those who are wealthy to enter the kingdom of God. It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." Now, people over the centuries have found a loophole in that. Oh, yeah, okay, now I get it. Because they discovered that in the in one of the gates there in the city of Jerusalem, there was a gate that called the Eye of the Needle. And they said, well, see, what that really means is that you unload this camel, and then he could get through that gate called the Eye of the Needle. Well, Luke blows that to smithereens because Luke was a doctor. And the needle he used is a surgical needle. Ain't no way a camel's going through the eye of a surgical needle. He meant what it said. If you're wealthy, it's easier to go for it to push a whole camel, load or no load, through the eye of a needle than it is for you to get into the kingdom of God. And then you need to react just like the disciples. Who can be saved? Folks, you're sunk. I'm sunk. Who can be saved? But he said to them, the things with men, the things impossible with men are possible with God. Okay? We're talking a miracle here, dude. We're talking a miracle. Jesus is a miracle, isn't he? He's a miracle. He had no father. He had a virgin mother. Jesus is a miracle because who is Jesus? He is God. God became a human being. Now, if you balk at that and you say, well, I don't believe that. Well, I'm sorry. That just tells me you're not going to get in the kingdom of God. Because there's only one way in the kingdom of God, and that is in and through Jesus Christ. All right? Now, Peter said, behold. Now, I like Pete. He's always talking. He entered the room mouth first. I like Peter. He's our favorite disciple, our favorite apostle. Yeah, he said, okay, Lord. He blurted out. Okay, we've left homes and followed you. Come to think of it, Lord, I think we're pretty close, don't you? Now Peter had already confessed that Jesus was the Son of God, and all of that. So he's a saved man. But Pete's just kind of squirming here. I mean, it makes us all uncomfortable, doesn't it? Sell all you have, give to the poor, and come follow me. What does that mean? What does that even mean? Kind of scares the fool out of you. And Jesus said, no, Pete, knock it off. Truly, I say to you, there's no one who's left house or wife or brothers or parents or children for the sake of the kingdom of God who shall not receive many things as much in this time and in the age to come eternal life. In another passage, in the Mark passage, it says, with persecutions. Don't forget that part. Luke leaves that out, but Mark sticks it in. You're going to have trouble and you're going to have incredible blessing if for the sake of the kingdom you give up anything. Right? You can't outgive God. You don't ever give up anything when you surrender your life to God, when you believe, you're convinced that it's true that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that he died on the cross for your sins and that he rose from the dead and you receive his gift of eternal life. It is a gift. It is impossible for you to have salvation. It is impossible for you to get your sins forgiven. It is impossible for you to keep the law. There's one element there that you're going to blow, that you've already messed up. And if you violate one law, you're sunk. And you've already done it, so then you're going to have to go the impossible route. And what's the impossible route? I believe that Jesus is who the New Testament says he is, who the Old Testament says he is. He is God come to die for me. And he died for me historically on the cross for my sins. That's what that death was all about. Had nothing to do with him. He didn't have anything. He hadn't done anything wrong. He took my sins upon himself and died. I don't understand all that. You're not asked to understand it. You're told to believe it, to know that it actually happened. Yeah, that actually happened. And he did it for me. I'm convinced that that's true. And I trust him. Give me eternal life. Now, did the rich young ruler gain the kingdom of God? No. As far as we know, he didn't. Why? Because he never answered the question. There's nothing good but God. Are you calling me God? He never answered that question as far as we know. And by the way, this was spoken in 30 AD, approximately. 40 years down the road, that rich young ruler lost his country, his house, his clothes, his wealth, his gold, and his life. He might as well have sold it all and given to the poor and followed Jesus. The apostles who followed the Lord, all of them died a martyr's death. All of them died outside the land of Israel. All of them were driven out of that country because of the sin of the nation in rejecting Jesus as Messiah. Folks, we live in an uncertain world. There once was a New England village in which people were very parsimonious. That means cheap, tightwads. And they all adhered to the principle of that you, if you inherited a pot of money, you never spent the principal. You only spent the earnings off the principal. Are you with me? And one day a stranger came into town and noticed that people in town were not speaking to this other person. And he said, "What's the deal here? What evil thing has they done?" And they said, "Oh, they spent their principal." You don't do that. Now, there's a lot of us have this sort of nest egg mentality. I kind of got this over here. I got this work. No, you don't. No, you don't. Everything we have in this life is dependent upon a political structure. Now, as Americans, we feel pretty good about that. In many parts of the world, they don't feel very good about that because it's very unstable. But without the person of Jesus Christ, the stability in the United States won't last either. Unless there are people who believe that he is God and trust him and receive the gift of eternal life and are filled with the power of the Holy Spirit and are given a deep internal moral code, you're not going to have a country. It won't hold together. It will not exist. The only one who can save America is Jesus. There's not a single politician out there. Now, we need to pray for our leaders, but they can't save us. Only Jesus can save us. And whatever you've got at any particular point in existential history is there because Jesus is in control of history, and that's where you are. Another occasion in that village, a very reportedly wealthy people died. And they saw the individual's attorney. The will had been probated, and they said, "Well, how much did he leave?" They wanted to find out how much money the family got. And the old attorney said, "Everything. Everything." Folks, when you die, I don't care if you're the most successful man that ever lived in the world's eyes. I don't care if you're the biggest deadbeat that ever lived in the world's eyes. You both die with the same amount of money, which is nothing. How you lived your life and how you invested your life amounts to diddly. Zip! That question is, who is Jesus? That's the question. And folks, I've been astounded. Once you get that settled, once you really get that settled, once you really know all that the New Testament is teaching us about who he is and his relationship to us, our relationship to him, once you figure that out, you figured it out. Who is he? So you just answer that question today. I'm not asking you to answer 50,000 others. Don't come to me for stock advice. I don't know. Don't care. I don't care if you work hard or never work a day in your life. When you die, you're going to have the same thing. Nothing. I don't care if they bury you in a mausoleum or they dig a hole and put you in a styrofoam box and toss you in. It makes no difference. Just answer that question. Who is Jesus? Have you answered it? Do you know who he is? Have you embraced him as your God, as your Savior? Have you? Have you invited him in? Have you received the full pardon of sin? Now, then the rest of those questions will answer themselves. What does God want me to do with my money? He'll tell you. What does God want me to do with my life? Well, he'll tell you. What does God want me to do with my time? Well, he'll tell you if you'll listen. But you first got to settle the issue. Who is Jesus? Once you got that figured out, it's all figured out. And God sends us little snitches of that sometimes, doesn't he? This week, or a couple, I guess it was last week. I'm tuned in for a little bit to Redskins. I forget who they were playing. Doesn't matter. But Kirk Cousins, of course, is the quarterback of the Redskins. And Kirk was a quarterback here in Michigan State. Kirk, of course, is a Christian. His father's a pastor. He's a believer. He's made that clear. I'm a believer. And at the beginning of the show, there was a thing there. And it showed a picture of him and his grandmother. And he said, you know, grandmother, and I forget what her name is, went to be with the Lord this week. But because of the gospel, we know we will see her again. Now, folks, that's true riches. Right? That's true riches. And old Pete just kept pumping Jesus for that. Now, Lord, you know, we've given up all this. We're following you. And Jesus is saying, Pete, you've given up nothing. You've given up nothing that you're not going to lose. You're going to lose your life. In fact, you're going to lose your life in the way you don't want to lose your life, but you've given up nothing. And he said, Pete, in the kingdom, you'll sit on, you 12 guys will sit on 12 thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. You've given up nothing. You cannot outgive God. You cannot receive more than you can give. You will receive all that you need. You receive all that he is. That statement didn't make any sense. You cannot get more than what God will give you. By grace. This is not of works. You all know this verse. For by grace you have been saved through faith. It is the gift of God. Not of works. Why? Lest any man should boast. With men, it's impossible. With God, it's everyday business. Let's bow our heads. If you're here today and you're still wrestling with that issue in your heart, who is Jesus? Right there where you sit, why don't you settle that issue? Prayer like this. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, I believe. Help my unbelief. Lord Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God. I believe you died for me. And Father, right now, give me the forgiveness of sin based upon what Jesus did. I receive that gift. I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as my only hope of eternal life, my Savior. Thank you for giving me this. I know I'm a sinner. I can't earn this. And so right now, by knowing that it's true, I just receive it. In your name I pray. Amen.